The other day we did a rally, and the rally was for freedom of choice, a choice for the vaccine or not. We believe in choice, but it was all about that concept of. Are you done yet? Okay. So we had this conference, this rally that Daniel Vaden put on, and people were very aware of the vaccine and the COVID. And I said, let's come together, let's hold hands, let's be one in the spirit. And we were all holding hands. I said, look to the person on the right and say, I'm contagious. Anyway, so I hope you're contagious with the Spirit of God. So,
amen.
Amen. I was in Moab last month, a month and a half ago, and Pastor Dick brought me up and had me co-teach with him, or preach, or whatever we did. And so he's here tonight, and we've asked him to be with us and join us. So would you come on up? We're going to co-teach tonight. And Pastor Dick, right now, he built a sukkah. He kept Yom Kippur. He's almost a Jew. And anyway, so we want to give him a gift that I'm going to have him put on tonight. It's a new prayer shawl, a tzili.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's not been opened. Here, you open it. Here's a bag too. I'll put it on you for you, if you like.
I'm going to set my papers right there.
Oh, you probably have a kippah, too. A yarmulke. In case you're in Old Town or something. Yeah. Oh. You want to wear this?
No.
So it's got a picture of Jerusalem.
Wow.
And this banner always goes up against you.
There we go.
That's right. Here, let me put it on you. This is a prayer shawl. Anyway.
Wow.
Bless you. Thank you.
Bless you.
Oh,
we got to remember that mic.
Well, praise God. Praise God.
Praise God.
Let me see if you're on.
It's what?
Is your mic on? Your mic.
Yeah. Didn't you hear it squeal when we got hugged?
Okay. Here you go. Well, praise God.
Yes. There we go.
Can you turn me up just a little bit, Jerry?
He does that.
Jerry? Okay, praise God. Well, we wanted, since he came to our house, I put together a sermon on learning the different types of mindset that we live in the church. And so everything here is put together by me, so you can't blame Pastor Dick. So Pastor Dick's going to answer what each scripture means. And we have a lot of scriptures. That's why we only had three worship songs, because we want to get into so much that the body of Christ is dealing with today. So here we go. Want to deal with, go ahead.
I just want to say, you know, when we did this in Moab, we only got halfway through.
Yeah.
So we'll have to.
That's because you talk a lot, so.
We get
so
excited.
So do I.
All right, go ahead.
So we're talking about the kingdom thinking, how our mindset works. Is it really important, our thoughts and our thinking? You know, right now there's a lot of emphasis on the physical, you know, smoking, drinking, sex, drugs, rock and roll, but there's so much more in the kingdom with our mindset. So we're going to deal with this tonight, and hopefully it'll come through. So would you like to read this or want me to?
Oh, I can read it.
Okay, go ahead.
2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not fight according to the flesh. For the weapons we fight with are not fleshly, but mighty in Elohim, for overthrowing strongholds, overthrowing reasonings and every high matter that exalts itself against the knowledge of Elohim, taking captive every thought to make it obedient to Messiah, and being ready to punish all disobedience in me and you when your obedience is complete.
Praise God. Go ahead.
Well, when Pastor Curtis sent me these scriptures about a week ago, I started studying each and every one. And this first one, it came to me that we tend to live our lives based on opinions. And sometimes it's not only our opinion, but others' opinions. And what happens is, and it came to me several months ago, and I've been preaching on this, is that because of opinion, our lifestyles are formed, our character is formed, and our lifestyles begin to dictate our spirituality.
Amen.
And it should be exactly the opposite. Our spirituality should dictate our lifestyle. So the weapon that we fight against is probably within ourselves and how we serve Him. And I want to go back to the kingdom.
Go ahead.
Because the kingdom now is here. Amen. It's not to come. It's already here.
Wait a minute. The kingdom is coming. Jesus is coming. Everything is in the future, isn't it?
No. Oh. No. It is, but no.
Okay.
No, and by that I mean, we spend so much time praying and worshiping and thinking about the kingdom to come and Jesus coming. But Jesus is here now. We need to focus on the now.
Amen.
The rest is going to come.
Amen.
That's His promise.
Amen. With or without our blessings.
That's right.
That's right. Well, praise God. This is one of the first scriptures I had my daughters memorize, because I believe that the weapons we have are greater when we begin to take our thoughts captive and the authority of God is with us. So let me ask you a question. When you have a thought, good or bad, can you capture it and take it captive? Well, because it's impossible. I had a group of college kids, and they were talking about lust and some of the problems they have. So I said, I want you to take every thought captive this week and report. And they came back and said, I tried. I really tried, but it's impossible. Because it is impossible, and Paul wrote this, take your thoughts captive. He knew that we couldn't do it. So how do we do it? So this next week, the assignment was, take every thought captive by saying to God, I can't do it, you can do it for me. And then turn away. Physically, you do something, turn away. And everyone came back and said, it worked. The power of God was with me all week long at Western State. And these college kids were just getting on fire because they realized that we can overthrow every stronghold, every stronghold, every stronghold. You got a problem? You got a problem with drugs and alcohol? Those are the easy ones. Do you have a problem with the way you think? Do you have a problem with the Spirit of God being upon you all the time? Or is it only when you're in church on your knees? And this is what we want to talk about tonight, is our mindset has to be such that where we go. I mean, Jesus said the last thing He asked for when He left this earth in Acts 1, He said, I pray that you will bear witness of me wherever you go. And bearing witness of God is something so powerful that you should be so full of God's Spirit, so full of God's anointing, that everywhere you go, His presence goes before you.
Amen.
His presence is seen by others
yes.
in you. And the Spirit of God is saying, now bear witness of me by having His presence so strong.
But strongholds.
Oh, go ahead.
Strongholds prevent us from having the Lord with us wherever we go.
Good point.
And strongholds, for me, is our character. And our character is formed. God says we're made perfect even in our mother's womb. So what happens is we start developing a character, which develops our lifestyle. And our character today, our life today, is and the character things that are happening in our life today is based on choices we have made throughout our life. And so
that's right.
That's a stronghold.
It is.
And God wants us to bust the strongholds so that we can represent Him wherever we go.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing is we're born human.
Yes.
And as a human, we have flesh. And as a flesh, a baby has needs, you know, so it cries when it needs to be changed or hungry. And that doesn't change. Here we are adults, and we're still crying out for our needs. But God is saying that He's given us the authority to take thoughts captive and to break every stronghold and beginning to see that we are ready to punish any area of disobedience, like it says, in me. Punish in me when my obedience is complete. And I'm telling you right now, the Word of God, if you study the Torah in the Old Testament, you'll see that there's realms of death or sin in our lives. And we have to go around the mountain every time, every year. We read the Torah from Genesis to Deuteronomy in a year cycle, and we begin to see that if we don't overcome a certain sin, we've got to go around the mountain another year, another time. And I don't want to go around the mountain anymore. Mm-hmm. Like God said to Moses, isn't it time we left the mountain?
Yes.
Isn't it time we move on? Isn't it time that you left the realms of death behind?
Yes. Amen.
And that's why the Torah is so important, because it gives us, it establishes a foundation. I'll tell you right now, everything that Messiah taught, everything was either in the Torah or the prophets.
Amen.
He never went around and said, and he pulled out of his back pocket, in 40 years, Paul's going to teach. He never said that. Because Paul was a Jew, Peter was a Jew, Jesus was a Jew, and they kept with the Word of God, and the Word of God is in the Old Testament. And that's why Jesus said, keep my Father's commandments. And we sort of ignore it because that's Old Testament. But the only place you find the Father's commandments is the Torah. I'm going to move on.
Yeah, well, one more thing. Okay. Because, and we'll get to this here in a little bit, I know, but when you said take every thought captive.
Every thought.
That's being obedient to God.
Amen.
So, amen. And we'll get to taking every thought captive here in a little bit.
Okay. Go ahead. These are all scriptures on thoughts and thinking.
Right. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
So God created man in his own image.
In his own
and
image.
Very few men served God. The rest of the men had thoughts that were not of God. And these thoughts that are not of God is the way we're born. We have to choose. God says before us blessings and curses, and he says choose. And I love in Deuteronomy 30, or Deuteronomy 30, he says, I set before you blessings and curses, life and death, and choose. And then he gives you a hint. He says, choose life.
Choose life.
Choose life. Well, how do you choose life? Go ahead.
Kingdom time.
Kingdom thinking, okay.
Kingdom here. But, related to this verse right here, it come to me that God relates to us not by, on the basis of what we say, or even what we intend, but how we live in his kingdom here.
Amen.
And so, he relates to us that way. Our problem is, we're in a world, we're not of this world, but we're in this world. And we begin to do worldly things. And it all connects back to the first 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 6, that we are to recognize that, be obedient, and break down or bust those strongholds. I call it stronghold busting.
Yeah. That's good.
Yep.
That's good. So Jeremiah 6:19, hear, O earth, I'm going to bring disaster on this people. And it is the consequences of their own way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bringing disaster because of your thinking. Well, what about action? Doesn't matter. Our thoughts are supposed to be his. Our mind has been given to him. And if we allow our mind to go off crazy and think about, let me tell you right now. Right now we're thinking of evil. We're thinking of evil. I'm past evil. I'm thinking of being good and going to church. Because we're not called to go to church and be good. We're called to be on fire for God. We're called to be his
Amen.
Light. We're called to witness everywhere we go. And if we're not bearing witness, then we're just bearing flesh. And eventually you might get, oh, you go to church? You're one of those kind of people? Especially if you tell them what church you go to. And I don't ask anymore. and I don't tell. Oh, how do you do? Where do you go to church? I mean, the first thing you ask one another if you're Christian is, where do you go to church? And so we find out what church you go to, so we can say, oh, and I put you in this box up here, or this box, and I never have to see you again because I put you in a box. And God said, love your neighbor as yourself is just as important as loving God with all your heart. And that's why God is telling us, for they pay no attention to the words of God and for my Torah, and they reject it.
That's right.
This is important because my words and my Torah, the word of God, I mean, Torah means God's teaching and instruction.
Amen.
And when God wrote the Torah with Moses, there was specific instructions on learning how to live, learning how to walk. And I love Davarim Deuteronomy because it's to the second generation, and he starts out by saying, I'm making this covenant with you that are here today, and I'm also making this covenant with those that are not there. And I'm pretty sure none of you were there today.
Amen.
So yet God is making the covenant with God's people. And unfortunately, many of us don't even know what covenant is. And God is making covenant with God's people today. Today, for the power of God is going to be with God's people that make covenant. Go ahead, sir.
Because covenant, people confuse covenant with commitment.
Okay.
And commitment is something, we break commitments all the time. We're not allowed to break our covenant with God. And so when we choose to go down our old path, we're actually breaking covenant
Amen.
With our Father.
That's right.
So when we choose to do the things of our life, we better stop and ask God if we can reclaim that relationship that we had with Him, and that's repentance.
Amen.
And that's the season we're in right now.
The restoration of our covenant.
Restoration of our covenant.
Amen.
And I have a really quick story. I have a couple of them. I'll just share one. But there was, I could talk stories all night long.
Yeah.
But I had a man that was visiting our church. He was with us for 2 or 3 months. He was traveling through the country from Texas, went to Maryland, came to Utah, and then actually went on to Oregon. But one day at an altar call, he came forward to rededicate his life to the Lord. And he was talking and sharing his story with the body. And he said these words. He said, I once had the Lord in my life, and I walked away 20 years ago. And I was standing behind the pulpit, and when he said those words, the Lord told me to tell him, you never walked away from me. I'm always there. So all you have to do is turn around and take one step back, and I'll welcome you back into my arms.
Amen.
And that's who we are. That's who our God is.
Because God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you.
That's right.
In Hebrews. And it comes out of Deuteronomy 30. He'll never leave you or forsake you. But as you break covenant, when you turn from His ways and walk in your ways, He says, I'll turn my face. But He's still there. Once He's made covenant with you, He's still there, and
Amen.
Our God is faithful. And I love that the words of that song, not necessarily the song, but the covenant. He is a covenant-keeping God. He mm-hmm. keeps covenant. No matter what you do, what road you go down, what area of sin you're dealing with, He's still made covenant with you. He's still there. And that's our loving Father. Praise God. And this is what Dick and I are trying to do tonight. We're trying to arouse you to wholesome thinking by means of reminders. Do you have any reminders?
Well, yeah, I do.
Made you think of a story.
Well, I have stories. But at the close, at the end of Yom Kippur, I was watching actually a synagogue broadcast, live broadcast, in Macon, Georgia. And Pastor Curtis graciously gave me the answer I was looking for because I was talking to him on the phone. But when they closed that gate,
mm-hmm. Nila,
I thought, wow, that was very emotional for me. And I was thinking, why wouldn't God keep the gate open? Because it's a time of cleansing. It's a time of clearing our house, us. And Pastor Curtis, I was talking to him on the phone, he said, well, He didn't close the gate on the future. He closed the gate on what you have already done. It's called a covering.
He covered everything that we repented for, mm-hmm. and he closed the gate on, never to pick it up again.
For me. Close the gate for me.
Yeah.
I can't go back.
That's right. You can't go back.
Anyway, so look at somebody and say, get aroused. Oh, you guys are half asleep. Should we stand
I know.
Up? Should we stand up and do some jumping jacks? Okay. All right. Go ahead. You can read this.
Okay.
We're talking about our thinking.
Thinking. Every time I say the word thinking, I always think differently. Think differently. But Romans 1:28, in other words, since they have not considered God worth knowing, God has given them up to worthless ways of thinking, a reprobate mind, so that they do improper things.
Right now, I believe we're in days that are the last days or days that are just preceding the last days. But right now, this passage is so powerful that we're dealing with reprobate minds in our leadership, in our government. And the sad thing is we've got clergy around this valley who believe in injustice, who live their lives without the Spirit of God, who actually believe that there are things that are okay. And whether it's choice or whether it's abortion or whether it's allowing realms of sexual immorality in the church, there are so many pastors in this valley that don't deal with speaking the words of God.
And don't exclude the rest of the churches throughout. Because we have the same problem in Moab. We have the same problem in Utah. See, people...
I was talking about Moab.
Oh, was you? I thought you said this valley. Oh, we're part of the Colorado Plateau, huh?
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, they've taken that covenant with God and they've made it a compromise. And when we start compromising God's covenant, then we turn worldly. And then we battle in the flesh. And that's not the way we were to battle.
Amen.
Because
we'll lose.
That's what?
We'll lose.
We'll lose. We're going to lose every time. And we're going to struggle. So if we can get out of the mindset of compromise and take everything before Him and let Him fight our battles, we're going to live a pretty good life.
Amen.
But we have the same problem in churches wherever I go, because it's that reprobate mind is... It rejects God.
It is.
It's a rejection of God Himself.
And it's scary when you think of Texas putting a hold on abortion, and the highest person in our government comes out and saying, I'll do everything in my power to shut that down. I wonder what that scripture is dealing with and who it's dealing with. For the Word of God is alive. Mm-hmm. The Word of God is living, and it is the Word of God is powerful, and the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword that we could use. But what the Word of God does is it pierces, even of the truth of dividing asunder to soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of our thoughts and intent of the heart. Proverbs says our heart is evil, our thoughts are evil.
Yes.
And we are humans. And to be a human means that you're not walking in the righteous ways of God. That's why the mark of God, the covenant of God, the presence of having God's presence with us is so important these days. Instead of being a good person and a Christian and going to church and being good and walking out in the world, God doesn't want you to be good and walk out in the world. He wants you to make covenant and walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
If we walk in Amen. The Spirit, the flesh doesn't have a chance. And everywhere you go is Spirit. And the Spirit of God is alive and powerful than any sword. Go ahead, Pastor Jake.
Well, because I preached a message here a couple of weeks ago, and I know it probably made somebody ouch a little bit. Because I believe the church still needs to find God.
Oh.
And I preach that message because if we don't find God, then we won't know His heart. And if we don't know God's heart, we won't even know our own heart. So we have to find God.
Well, I've been preaching for years that revival is going to get the saved saved. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're saying, the people in the church. When God's people get on fire for God, when they have a change of heart, when their desire is to serve God in everything they do. That's why I tell people to see your hands anointed, and what you put your hands to should be the Spirit of God. Everything you do should be about God's anointing. I got a job, I got a business, but put God first. When you put God in your business, in your job, in everything you do, guess what? The Spirit of God is going to guide you and direct you, and the value of God's anointing is so strong that you're going to be happy for the rest of your life. Praise God.
Yes, praise God. I heard somebody over here say, be able to hear the Spirit. Yeah, it was you, Justin, right? Because when you said that, it said, yes, we need to be able to hear God's word.
Amen.
And it came to me as we need to be still and know that I am God.
Right. And Jesus said, quite frankly, my sheep hear my voice. Let me ask you, and don't answer out loud, if you're not hearing the voice of God, and some of you here are hearing it, and I think some of you probably aren't. If you don't hear the voice of God, perhaps you're not his sheep. Mm-hmm. Now, that's really offensive and really strong, but that's nothing compared to what this other guy said. This other guy said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Yes. This other guy said, you're workers of iniquity. This other guy said, thanks for prophesying in my name and casting out demons in my name, but depart from me, I never knew you.
Yes.
And that's so important today.
In fact, he said they were lukewarm, and I will spew you out of my mouth.
And what's lukewarm?
It's only halfway there.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Proverbs 23:7, Dick.
For as he reckons in his life, as a man thinketh, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you.
As a man thinketh is a small book written about 100 years ago, but it goes through this whole point that as we think, we become. If we think of righteousness and we think of God and we keep God in our heart, we become more like God, more like Messiah. If we think of anger and bitterness and retaliation and unforgiveness, we'll walk in that spirit of unforgiveness, and that spirit is such a evil spirit and is so damaging to the body of Christ that we need to deal with forgiveness. As a matter of fact, Messiah talked about unforgiveness being one of the top sin, I guess.
And when you sent me this, and I was looking over these scriptures, the Lord took me to Genesis 1, verse 2. God created light to bring us out of the darkness. Mm-hmm. But he's also talking about that divine appointment that he has with us to give us the light in our mind, so that we can think clearly and think differently and think his thoughts, not ours.
Well, he said, you're the light of the world.
We're the light of the world.
And if you look at in Genesis, God gave the light on the fourth day. According to the Jewish calendar, Messiah came at the end of the fourth day. Mm-hmm. And we need to see the correlation because we're in the fourth day of Sukkot.
Yes.
Praise God. Yes. So God should be upon your heart. He should be on your mind. And the making of covenant means that you want God's presence in you so that where you go, his presence goes with you. Praise God.
Amen.
And I'm excited to meet people that have his presence about him. And Daniel put together this rally the other day, and I met several people after I talked. It was sort of weird and radical, you know. And I met several people that had his presence. And it was really, it was such an honor to meet God's presence. So would you like to read 8 through 11 on Romans 5?
Sure.
Okay.
For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the matters of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the matters of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity towards Elohim, for it does not subject itself to the Torah of Elohim, neither indeed is it able.
Or does not obey.
Or it does not obey.
Keep going.
And those who are in the flesh are unable to please Elohim. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yes. If indeed the Spirit of Elohim dwells in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Messiah, this one is not his. Another amen.
Amen.
And if Messiah is in you, the body is truly dead, on account of sin, but the Spirit is life on account of righteousness. Amen. And if the Spirit of him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Messiah from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit dwelling in you.
We used to sing a song in Bible college, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. Go ahead.
Well, if his Spirit isn't dwelling in us, then what Spirit is dwelling in us?
There is a Spirit.
There is a Spirit. And if it's not him, as a matter of fact, they try to crowd out each other. But if we're truly knowing God and knowing his heart, and he knows our heart, there's no room for any other Spirit but his Spirit in us.
Well, we've got a lot more scriptures. How about we look at these 4 points? Go ahead and read 1 and 2, and I'll do 3 and 4.
Okay. Number 1, elevate your mindset. Search me, O God.
Evaluate. Think about it.
Evaluate. Yes, evaluate.
Elevate's good.
Did I say elevate?
Yeah.
Oh, evaluate. Elevate. Well, elevate your mind. Yeah. That works too. Number 2, surrender your mindset. You are controlled by the Spirit.
Amen. Redirect your mindset. Do you know what a mindset is? A mindset is a habit. It's the way we think. You know, like I have a habit of thinking of dessert every night, about 9 o'clock, and ice cream is my mindset. And I'm on a diet, and I'm trying to lose
weight.
Man
after my own heart.
But I eat too much ice cream, and I just got in the mail a big thing of chocolate syrup. So anyway, so how do I redirect my mindset? Because it's set. Our mindset is in super glue, and our mindsets are hard to change. Just like our weight is our body set. And it's very difficult to change, but you have to get after it with every ounce of energy to change my weight set and to change my mindset. And if I'm dwelling on realms of death, then they live in me. They incorporate my thinking, and they take over me. And that's why Pastor Dick mentioned earlier that when our Christian mindset is set on the future, then we're denying what God has given us right now.
Amen.
We're so worried about second coming. We're so worried about whether we're going to go through any tribulation, whether we're pre-trib or God forbid, post-trib, and all these kind of things. It has our mind, because we haven't learned maturity, and maturity Amen. Says none of that matters. God says the secret things belong to God, and the future is his secret, because we don't know what God's going to do. But he also says what has been revealed, being revealed is now. What's being revealed now is yours, and we're to walk in that revelation. And that revelation, in the last 50 years, and you're not quite that old, but in the last 50 years, I've seen the revelation of God. This is not my Father's church. There is more revelation being revealed now than there ever has been about who we are, about Amen. Who God's kingdom people are, about the Spirit of God, about the authority that we have, about Yes. where we place our feet, it's holy ground, about what we put our hands to. It's not just talking to pastors. Oh, if a pastor takes hold of the plow, he can't let go. It's about you.
That's right.
It's about you. When you take hold of that plow, you can't let go. You can't go back. God is using God's people. This wasn't taught 50 years ago, but the God who is revealing these secrets is alive, and the Word of God is powerful. And God is redirecting our mindset. He's making our mind think on things of the Spirit, things above. He's transforming us, he's being transformed, and capturing God's thoughts. Let me deal with transformation. We've been taught by the Catholic Church, which is the foundation of all of our doctrine. No offense to anybody that's Catholic, and no offense to anybody that has doctrine. But the fact is, if we're to be transformed, we have been taught that we will be transformed in a twinkling of an eye. So, How come nobody you know is transformed in a twinkling of an eye? You might find somebody that is real spiritual, but they still want to know what's for breakfast. They still want to know, you know, is it turkey bacon or pork bacon? You know, these are things that are of our flesh. What God is saying is I don't know, do you have Xander or Clara? Clara. Clara is what, 7, 8? When Clara was a year and a half, her mother sat her on the potty. And 2 hours later, she still hasn't gone. So she got her back up, put her diaper on her, and Clara said, "Oh, sorry, Mom." And boom, there you go. Brand new diaper, and it couldn't have been more than 5-10 minutes. Well, one day, Clara came to her mom and said, tugged on her apron, her skirt, and said, "Mommy, potty." And in a twinkling of an eye, she was transformed in that area of her life. When we begin to see that we are transformed in areas, then we can start claiming victory by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In our
Amen.
Areas. And most of us are not potty trained in the Spirit.
Amen.
That's why Paul says, by now you should be maturing. You should be off the milk. You should be into really solid food. But you're still on the milk. So we're still breastfeeding in the Spirit. And imagine a little baby girl or a baby boy is breastfeeding. My wife's shaking her head. But what if he was doing that physically when he's 40, 50 years old? You would think this guy's a little bit off.
Yeah.
Well, how come we don't think that in the Spirit? When we have Christians that are saved for 30, 40 years and they're still on the milk, there's something wrong with what's being fed.
That's right.
When are we going to wean the church to walk in the Spirit? To mature, and that's what God is doing today. These are the things that are being revealed. I believe God's people are, God is revealing that we need to be off the milk and walk in maturity. Can anybody on this side say amen? Are you guys, is this side even paying attention? Because I know this side's not. Anyway, so praise God. Why don't you read number 4 and encourage?
Well, I want to say something about transform.
Well, transform.
Yeah. You sparked something, so I have to tell a story now. And you mentioned the Catholic Church. I do recovery in Moab, and I have homes that I send people to. And I had a young man, not a young man, but in his 30s. And I happened to encounter him in the park, and he tried to avoid me because he knows who I am. I don't know him too well, but I know his brother really well. And when I cornered him, he was messed up and looked a mess. And I asked him where he was going, and he said, looking for my truck. I said, well, I mean, we're in a park. I didn't say that, but I said, well, where's your truck? And he goes, I don't know. That's why I'm looking for it. I said, oh, okay. So long story, I talked to him. Some of the guys in the church, I had to go to work, so they took him. We had breakfast for him, and he started coming to church, and he did fairly well for a while. He'd been churched before. I won't say what denomination or what church he went to, but he was coming. And one day he walked in the church one Sunday morning. I was standing in the foyer, and I looked at him, and he'd actually got clean. He'd quit drugs. And he looked at me, and I said, "You took the fall." And he said, "No, I didn't." I said, "Oh, you did. I can tell. I can see it in your eye." And It's a story about transformation, because we ended up sending him to one of the recovery homes, got him out of jail. He had to go do jail time, and got him out of jail, sent him out to California, to recovery home. And he called me about, 4 months into recovery. It's a one-year program that I use. And he called me and he said, "Pastor Dick, I want to just thank you for saving my life." I said, "That wasn't me, that was Jesus Christ. He just uses me." He said, "No, you saved my life." I said, "No, I didn't. Christ saved your life. Get that straight." His name's Jim. And he said, "No, Pastor Dick, I got to tell you a story." He says, "You remember the day in the park?" I said, "Oh, I remember it well." He said, "When I said I was looking for my truck, I was on my way down to the river to commit suicide. And you stopped me. So you saved my life." And I said, "No, that was a divine encounter. It's still Jesus Christ." You know, so anyway, he said, "The story is, at 4 months, I was laying in the sanctuary on the floor after lunch. I wasn't asleep. I was laying there praying, and Jesus Christ came to me. And in my spirit, he says, 'Get up.' I got up and he took me by the hand and he walked me down a path and we got to an intersection. And he said, Jim, this is the way you went in your life. This is the way I wanted you to go. That happened four times. And he said, at the very end, the last intersection, he turned towards me and he put his hand on my shoulders and he said, you know the right way to go from now on. Take the right path.
Amen.
And he said, and then I was laying on the floor again. So his whole, through all of his life, the encounter with the Lord that day transformed him into who God always wanted him to be.
You know, part of Jeremiah says, we stand at the crossroads and God tells us which path to take.
Mm-hmm.
And we as a body of believers, and this is Jeremiah getting on our case, he says, we decided not to go his way. And that's a sad story, but mm-hmm. but it's true about so many people in the world. That's why the Holy Spirit worked in you to save the guy's life, because suicide is the taking of a life that should be God's.
Yep.
And God doesn't want suicide, he wants life. And that's why the Old Testament is all about L'chaim, all about life. So look at somebody and say, I want to encourage your mindset. Mm-hmm. The Spirit can help you change, because you can't change by yourself. You Amen. Can't take Amen. Thoughts captive, but you can put your thoughts in God's hands, and you can lose weight. You can get on fire for God. You can think about whatever is pure and righteous and noble. Resurrection life now and yet to come. We are being resurrected right now.
Amen.
You know, we've been told that some glad morning when this life is over, the dead in Christ shall rise first. But let me tell you right now, there's dead in Christ are all over the church.
Amen.
They're dead in the spirit. Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, you're dead. And what I'm saying is the dead in Christ are rising first before the revival, and the dead in Christ need to be on fire. And all I'm saying is you don't have to buy what I'm saying, but you can test it and ask God if that's too hard for your doctrine to accept. But the dead in Christ are rising right now. I was dead in Christ.
Amen.
Dick was dead in Christ.
Yes.
And we're alive, and now we're being transformed one area of my life at a time. And God is using me in a way that I never thought possible. God is using Pastor Dick in a way that I don't know if you ever thought was possible, but God is moving. God is moving so strong these days that when you see people and you pray for people, the Spirit of God will come alive and God's Spirit will anoint you and you will be an encourager to a lot of people. I was teasing Pastor Dell that he said, I'm sitting in the back row. I said, the back row is safe for sinners. And he said, praise God, I'm a sinner. And so so
Amen.
There's a pastor that's humble and yeah. knows that we walk in flesh, and our flesh is an area that we need to improve in. So let's move along. We're losing time here. This is about a Hebrew mindset versus a Greek mindset. Would you like to read that?
Sure.
Okay.
Zechariah 9:13, for I shall bend Yehuda for me. I shall feel the bow of Ephraim. And I shall stir up your sons, O Tyson, against your sons, O Greece, and I shall make you like a sword of a mighty man.
Amen.
And then, you had something very special that you shared with me about that one.
Okay. Yehuda is a basic understanding of the fact there's two houses. God has talked to, where's that? Ezekiel. It's right after the dry bones. And he says, take a stick for me and call it Judah. Mm-hmm. Take another stick for me and call it the lost sheep of Israel, mm-hmm. Jacob, and we'll call that Ephraim. Okay, Ephraim is who Deuteronomy is about, that God's making covenant with those not there that day. And Ephraim is what God is saying, I will take Ephraim and put him in my bow, and I will come against, O Greece. Now, this is not to say Greek people are bad or the island is bad, but it's to say that the mindset of the Hellenistic Greek mindset is opposed to the mindset of God. And God is saying right now, we are Western Hemisphere Christians. We're raised in the church that is Greek mindset or thinking is Greek, and yet when I say things and say, test it, you have to come against some of your traditional doctrine, your belief system. That belief system is of the flesh and of areas that God wants to bring you into a mindset that's Hebrew, like Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Yeah. So our thinking is like Messiah. Our thoughts are like Messiah. He knows us and we know him, praise God. And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. Well, I want to say, God, you better know me. I want you to know me. Help me, Father God. If God said it, who is audacious enough, I was, to say, I don't need it. I don't need that. It's done away with. The audacious attitude is, I can do what I want. I can live the way I want. Praise God. I walk by spirit. But the fact is, God wants us to be obedient. And it's through obedience that the blessings of God come. And God forbid, I don't want to stand before God someday and he goes, hey, you, I've got something against you.
Amen.
I want God to say, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anything you'd like to add to this?
No. No, I'm good.
Okay. Here's some basic premises that we need to realize. The Greek Hellenistic mindset says the holiness of beauty. If you look at some of the Olympics in two and 3,000 years ago, they honored the body. It was the holiness of nudity. They ran the Olympics naked so they could just admire men and women's nudity. Well, the Hebrew mindset is not the holiness of beauty, it's the beauty of holiness. So we're not focusing on physical, we're focusing on the spiritual realms of holiness. So how would you like to do the next two?
Worship the creations, the Greek Hellenistic mindset. And I live in a beautiful place in Moab.
The creation.
And at the creation. And so many people come there to worship the creation. And even the churches worship that creation. Because a lot of money comes into Moab because of the creation. And that's the Greek mindset, to worship that creation. And worship the creator, the Hebrew mindset. You know, somebody told me several years ago, I don't know what's since COVID and stuff, but we get around 3 million visitors a year.
Wow.
How many people do you believe go into the churches on Sunday morning? Hardly any. Hardly any. They're there for the creation. Amen. So, we need. I wanted to put a billboard up as you come into town, worship the Creator.
It's a good one. It's how we think, mm-hmm. how our mindset is, how we think that would change the world. Right now, we've been thinking about being good, staying in our own churches, and we've allowed the realms of darkness to come up. 1973 was one heavy year for darkness. Mm-hmm. The world's churches were so caught up in their little domain and their doctrine that they couldn't come together. And a Baptist couldn't come together with a Methodist, and a Methodist couldn't come together and pray for Roe versus Wade. And so we sat in our little cubicles and let darkness establish itself in America. And now we've had 48 and a half years of murder. Now, I don't know how you believe. I'm sorry, this is how I believe. I believe abortion is murder.
It's murder.
I believe that. That we're seeing, we went to a Right to Life thing, and this guy gave an hour and 15 minutes worth of statistics on how throughout our Greek and Roman history, we have murdered babies up until the time they're 3 years old, and baby girls were frowned upon. So baby girls were thrown in the river all the time because every household was taught you want sons. You want 7, 8 sons. A daughter's a waste of time and a waste of money. And a son will make you money. So we have this mindset. But by golly, I believe that in a year and a half, will be 50 years. 50 years since Roe versus Wade. 50 years is Jubilee. And Jubilee is the restoration of all debts, the forgiveness of all debts, the restoration of our land, and the Hebrew word for land is Eretz, but it also means inhabitants of God. And I'm standing on the word that the year of Jubilee is going to restore my land, which is America, to the kingdom of God. And my land is going to be restored, and all debts will be paid, and God is going to restore a remove Roe versus Wade, and I believe that we're going to have babies in this world. Go ahead.
And I agree 100%. You know, I said
you better.
At a meeting, I said at a meeting about abortion and about the COVID-19 pandemic, this is a pandemic, 60 million babies. That's a pandemic to me. And we don't hear our leaders doing anything about that. You know, and when you said that heal our land, in one of my studies, and I don't remember when it was, but I was thinking about healing the land, how we heal the land. So if Jesus Christ is to us what the promised land was to the Israelites, then 2 Chronicles 7:14 becomes a reality.
Amen.
Because he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their land. That's us. We are his land.
Turn is a Hebrew word, teshuva. And it doesn't mean to just, oh God, forgive me. It means to turn and walk the other way. We're walking in destruction. We're walking towards death. And it means turn and now walk towards the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And that's how powerful that is. Well, we're running late here. Let's talk fast.
Do we really understand spiritual thinking?
Do we? I don't. I believe God is teaching us more and more the deeper walk of thinking about walking by spirit.
Yes.
Go ahead, Dick.
Do we see and understand our call to hear and see spiritually?
Jesus told us we need to see into the kingdom. He told us that we need to have an ear to hear. For instance, when you look at each other and you say, blessed are you that comes in the name of the Lord. He said, you won't see me until you say that. So Amen. Say that to somebody. Blessed are you that comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed are you, come in the name of the Lord.
Amen. And what he said was, you won't see me until you say that. So when we say that, do we see Jesus? Or do we see just another man, another woman? Because what Jesus is saying is we need to see into the kingdom. We need to have kingdom eyes. We need to see people that are walking in the Spirit. You need to be walking down City Market, walking through City Market or Safeway or whatever, and somebody bumps into you with their cart. So instead of saying, hey, what's wrong with you, stupid? And going like this, say, well, praise God, you're in my life now. And maybe it's about the kingdom, and maybe you can see the kingdom of God in their eyes when they say, oh, praise God, I'm so sorry. It's like, are you a believer in Jesus Christ? I never ask if they're a Christian. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? And if they say yes, I want to say, praise God, hallelujah, I hope you're on fire for God. And Karen was wearing a shirt today. What did the shirt say? The 40 Days for Life, and somebody at the cross-country thing asked her what that meant, and she had a chance to witness. Because everywhere we go is a chance for us to share the gospel. So
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Anyway.
Do we only see in the physical?
I don't know. It's time that we begin to see in the spiritual and hear in the spiritual. Mm-hmm. Hear what God has to say to the body of Christ, to the churches.
As I told one guy just the other day, he was talking about the future, and he asked me. I said, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future.
Hey, you should write a song.
Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind,
Amen.
Your thinking, so that you prove what is that good and well-pleasing and perfect desire of Elohim.
We should walk out of here with a hunger and a thirst to be transformed.
Amen.
We should walk out of here and not go out and go, hey, Bob, how's your golf game? Hey, how's the Broncos doing? Hey, how's the Warriors doing? You know, Will Jones is the coach. You know, they went to Denver last week, they got killed. I asked them, we heard them the other night. What I'm trying to say is we should walk out of here saying, hey, help me. Let me make covenant with you. Keep me accountable so that my thinking is being transformed. My mindset is being transformed. I want to know the God who is. I want to know the fire and the passion. I want to know whose God is real. I want God to be in my heart. I want my heart to be on fire for God. I want to walk in this world. Though I walk in darkness, I am a light of the world. And God says, out of me, out of my belly. Look at somebody and say, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And now throw up on them and let them see what in the spirit. Go ahead. This is our last.
When I walk out of here, I want to continue to say, God, show me your glory.
Amen. Amen. What's the Hebrew word for that?
I don't know. Say it.
Shekinah
glory.
When you realize the glory that was all over Jesus, it was called the Shekinah. The presence of God is upon you. And when you realize the presence of God lives in you, the presence of God goes behind you, the presence of God is your rear guard, that where you go, His presence is real.
Amen.
Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me just ask you again, and don't say yes. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Praise God.
Amen.
We got a few people that are saved, and the rest of you stay for the altar call. And anyway, so would like to close with anything? I think we're done.
I think we're done.
No, we're not.
No.
Oh, I forgot. There's two more.
We better do this.
There you go. Okay. This is something I want you to memorize. Memorize Philippians 4:8. You see that where it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true and noble? When God gave me the scripture in my heart, I had my first granddaughter born somewhere back in Georgia. And it was baby Sarah, if you ask a child. And her name is Noble. And so I read this and go, wow, that's my granddaughter. And so this meant a lot to me.
Amen.
Go ahead and read it there, Pastor Dick.
Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think upon these things.
Amen.
Think upon these things.
Amen. Instead of what you're thinking about right now.
You might think differently.
You might be thinking about the fact that there's cherry pie left over. that you just had Chinese food and 10 minutes later you're hungry again. And what God wants us to do is be in His presence all the time. That's why Paul was saying, think upon these things. Think upon these things. Take our thoughts captive. I don't want to think about the world. I don't want the realms of flesh. I want God's anointing wherever I go. Is the word of God true? Is it noble? Is it right? Is it admirable? If anything is excellent or praiseworthy? By the way, would you praise God right now? It's praiseworthy. So praise God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know,
yes,
the word says,
him.
Amen. Mm. The word says, God will inhabit the praises of Israel.
Amen.
And you've been grafted in, Paul says, to the commonwealth of Israel. So think upon these things.
Amen.
Okay, Dick, you can challenge him and charge him with this.
Think upon the kingdom things now.
Amen.
And forever.
Some glad morning.
When this life is over?
No, right now. Right now. Anyway, I want to thank Pastor Dick for being with us tonight. I want to thank the live streamers that are watching. And
I want to thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And all of you for allowing me to be here. It's an honor. To be here.
It is. I made covenant with this guy. I love this guy. I mean, we talk on the phone. We text each other a lot. Connie, I'm sorry, but he loves me. He loves me more than you. And anyway.
And we both love ice cream.
So God bless you.
Bless you.
And doesn't he look really handsome with this new tallit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. So praise God. Let's stand and I know it's late. We're going home, and it's Friday night. It's the Rosh Shabbat. We have service tomorrow at 11 o'clock, and I'm going to finish this concept of mindset, and I'm going to teach on this mindset of Gog versus Magog, which to me, it was very powerful mini sermon, and Pastor Matt's doing the main sermon tomorrow. So, Father God, we ask that all of our hearts, and you can close after me, Pastor. I ask that our hearts are touched by God tonight. I ask that God's Spirit becomes strong in our lives, that the presence of God goes before us, and we recognize it, and we want that Spirit to be in our life, and we want our mindset to be changed, and we want the Spirit of God to be upon us wherever we go. I want us to be able to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that we're not beggars, we're not poverty-stricken, we're not some poor old Christians or whatever we may think, that we've been born into a kingdom, and God says, you're mine, I'm the king, you're my child, you're the child of a king. Amen. And I pray that we begin to think like that and think like children of the king and think with the mindset that now honors him in everything we do, whatever we place our hands to, the Spirit of God is strong upon us. In Yeshua's name, and Pastor Dick's going to finish.
And Father God, I do. I pray, Father, that each and every one here, each and every soul, Father, that senses your presence, Father, starts to think about everything they think, say, and do. Father, that everything that we do brings glory to your name. Our life becomes
Amen.
A life that serves you, Father God, no matter what. Even through the trials and the storms, Father, you say you're there with us, you're there for us, and you'll carry us through, Father. And I just keep thinking of your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Father God. And I just pray that your kingdom begins to grow in this nation, Father God, that we turn back to what was originally the foundation of this country, Father Amen. God, and that's one nation under God. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you for this time. I thank you for these people, these beautiful people that love you so dearly, Father God, and it's in your Son's name I pray. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen.
One last thought. Isaiah said that in these days there would be no end to his government.
Amen.
I guarantee you there's never going to be a government of God in America. There's never going to be a government of God in the world until the people of God have Amen. The government of God on my Amen. Heart individually. When the Amen. People are led by the government of God, then the kingdom of God will be established in America. But we've got to start here, and you've got to take that fire and spread it. Because, like we started, you are contagious. So tell somebody that God loves you, and God wants you to be on fire for God.